Running for Zehuda of Chaylei Tzahal, and hope for the first time of those who are wounded, and should have peace soon. We're talking about the Tehillim that are attributed to Moshe, basically 90 through 100. We've talked about most of them. The three that were left really start off all the same way. Common theme. Tzadik Gimel is Hashem Malach Yilavish. Tzadik Zayin is Hashem Malach Tegel Haaretz, and Tzadik Tet is Hashem Malach Yugzu Amim. You can tell the theme right there. God has reigned. And it's in the past tense, Hashem Malach. Now, the Art Scroll translation makes it about the future. This is something that will happen. Hashem will have reigned, reading as the perfect tense. We will have dawn grandeur, Geul Lavish. And their note says explicitly that the translation generally follows the view that the psalm reflects the pronouncements that will be made in the Messianic era. Accordingly, the past tense syntax of the psalm will be uttered in retrospect. And that's usually the way we take that. If you look in Tanakh, you see it says Hashem Malach. It's talking about in the future, people will have said this. God's reign and rule is finally apparent. Dira Yamim Aleph Tet Zion, which is part of Shuvi Zimrat. Says Yismachu, this heavens will rejoice, the land will celebrate, and they will say among the nations, Hashem Malach, Hashem has reigned. But we have this familiar line, which I want to focus on, where we put these three tenses together, right? We say this over and over in lots of places, Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch Lulam Be'ed. Everyone knows this is not actually a pasuk. There's nowhere in Tanakh where it says Hashem Malach, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch Lulam Be'ed. It's a refrain of Piyutim, right? It's basically putting these, it puts all those three pieces together, past, present, and future. And it's clear that when you say Hashem Malach, it's not this, what we call the prophetic perfect. Like I'm talking about the future as though it was in the past. But it's the past. It's something that happened. And so looking at what does it mean to say Hashem reigned in the past? And I will say that that form only occurs a couple of times. We quoted here Hashem Malach in Devar Yomim, and as the introduction to a pasuk, it only occurs in these three tefillin. And that occurs one place where we looked at it before, which is one of the tefillin we already attributed to Moshe, Imru V'Gayim Hashem Malach, that it will be said. Again, this is clearly the prophetic perfect, looking at the future but using the past tense, that let them say among the nations, Hashem has reigned. Tikkun Tevel Baltimore is to set the world so it doesn't slip. So look at the other pieces of that Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch Lulam Be'ed. The present tense one is part of the Tehillim. Tehillim Yud, Hashem Melech Olam Be'ed, Adu Gam Yaretzo, God reigns, present tense. And the future is in Shirat Hayam. Hashem Yimloch Lulam Be'ed. So we have these three tenses. God was king, is king, will be king. And if we look at it that way, if you understand what it means to say God is king and will be king, right? All of our Rosh Hashanah liturgy is all about declaring Hashem as king, right? That we accept Hashem's rule. And as the Malbim puts it, that's what a melech is somebody whose rule is accepted. He says, Yesh hevdel ben melech u'moy ben moshel. There's a difference between a melech, king, and a ruler. Were Moshe. A king is chosen by the people. A melech is someone who rules by the consent of the governed. In fact, the verb lehimalech is to ask for advice from someone else, to ask for judgment. When we say Moshe, it's imposed by force. When we say Hashem melech, it means that we are accepting Hashem as king. And that's what Rashi says about Shema. He talks about it as Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim. So Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem Hu Shelokeinu Atah, God is our king, is our God now, will kill the world. Not for all the nations, who atid liyot Hashem Echad, Hashem will be king. So Hashem is king now because we accept him as Bnei Yisrael. Hashem will be king, latid lavo, in the future when the entire world accepts him. And that's what we read all of Rosh Hashanah. That's all the same thing. But then what does it mean that Hashem Malach in the past tense? before anyone accepts God. And with that, I'm going to look at the Maharal. There's an idea that comes, it's everywhere. It pervades the writing of the Maharal, understanding what a melech is. Yesh lecha ladat, you need to know. Ki a melech hu ha-mekasher et malchuto, ad shekol achad. Part of the role of Melech, or the symbolism of Melech, is pulling all the people together, going from a mass of individuals to a nation. That's what a Melech means. That's why you need one, not many. Because you can't pull everything that went together if you have multiple Melechim. And he's talking obviously about Hashem as being our Melech. He's not ruling out the idea of democracy. He's still have one government. But if you have two, then they're all separate. We can't put go together. That's why the Chazal said that Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Elokim, Hashem Echad, is Kabbalat Malchuto. That's Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shem. When you say Hashem is one, it's saying he is the Melech. So the Melech is a symbol of the oneness, of coming together. Because that is the nature of being one. Yachid ba'mo is the symbol of the nation as a whole. And that brings everyone together. And again, it doesn't necessarily mean a literal king and a human government. At least, and for Hashem, it's what brings us together. In fact, we are, look at the melech. And then he talks about the nature of physics. That the universe is like that. The universe has lots of different parts. What brings it together is Malchut Hashem. Atzura hi echad. And he talks about that, the form, that all that, what makes the universe one, we'll call it, what he calls a tzura, one form, one system. It's unitary. Yeh mitachedet hakol, and it brings everything together. Mo ha-melech ba'am, just like the king, symbolizes the unity of the people. Ki adom mitkasher ha'am. So that's why everyone in the world comes together, because they're all created by one God. So God basically serves as the malach in the past tense, in the sense that not that that anyone freely accepts God's rule. It's not Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim, but the fact it's Hashem Sashkacha that gives order and purpose to the universe. God is the source of the laws of physics. Put it that way, science. Everything is part of the same universe. That's what a Hashem Malach in the past means. It comes unified. Melach here is a metaphor for what it means to have laws of physics, predictable universe. It comes back to creation. So let's look at the first part. This is the Shir Shalim for Friday. Hashem Malach, again, past tense, Geul Lavesh, is robed in glory. Lavesh Hashem Oz Hitazar. God is garb in strength. Apshikon tevel baltimot, and Hashem has set the world so it doesn't falter, doesn't move. Things remain on the same path. Again, the laws of physics remain that way. That's what means to say Hashem Malach. Nachon kisalcha me'az, your throne has been set from the past. Me'alam ata, from long ago, you have existed long ago. Nasunarot Hashem, nasunarot kolam, the rivers raise their voices. Yisuna wrote Dachyam, and the rivers sound their pounding, Dachyam. Mikolot Mayim Rabim, from the sound of the mighty waters, Adirim Mishpirayam, the mighty waves, Adim Ram Hashem, God is glorified, is known to be powerful. Your testimonies are faithful, the Beit Chat Nava Kodesh, and your house is a holy sanctuary. Hashem Lo Rachamim, God, this is true forever. So it's hard to figure out what this all means. We say this all the time. This is Shir Shalim from Friday. It's very short. We say Shabbat, but what does it mean? Right? Hashem is reign, great. His throne set for creation, that's past, good. And then that's not Hashem Malach, but then they're talking about the water, and the water is really loud. Right, the rivers raise their voices, the tide pounds, the breakers, the waves raise their voices, and that all that glorifies God. And then we have the Beit HaMikdash, Beit Chanav HaKodesh. So what's with this water praising God? there's something there because it comes up a lot, right? The first mention that we have Hashem as king, and the first mention of the Beit HaMikdash is also in that for in that one time of God's controlling the water. That's Shirat HaYam. Let me say, Aziv is your man.
Don't we say the Torah is like water?
We do, but I'm going to go. It's a different metaphor here.
Okay.
The Maral is going to go. The Torah is like water in the life-giving sense.
Yeah.
This is in the ocean sense, the vast waters of the world, and that right. And we say when Hashem splits the sea, right? Hashem manifests his control over nature by splitting the sea, and then we sing Zekeli Maveo Kiva Menu, right? To the able to. Right, that's the you, God, will bring them to your mountain. Right, this Mikdash. Your dwelling is ready. Mikdash Hashem kuniyadecha. You, God, have set the place of the Mikdash. And then Hashem yimloch l'avet. God will rule. There's an important symbolism in God's control of the ocean. And we talked about this in Parashat Shalach, we talked about Tzitzit. We talked about the nature of Tchelet. That's the Gemara Menachem. Tanya, Hey Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir would say, Manishtana Tchelet mikol minei tzivonim. Why Tchelet? Why the blue? As opposed to any other color for Tzitzit. Neishtet Tchelet domel layam, because Tchelet reminds you of the sea, the yam domel rakia, and the sea reminds you of the sky, and the sky reminds us of the divine throne. We talked a lot about the Kisei Kavod. It says, Tachat Raglo Kamasa Livna Sapir, says that when they had a vision of Hashem, that under Hashem's under his legs, there was like a brick of sapphire. It's a Mashem Matohar, and it was as clear as the sky. And in Yechezkel is the same kind of vision. Kamara Evan Sapir, Dumut Kisei, the throne of God was this sapphire, this blue. That's a Kisei Kavod. And we talked about that, that we look at the sky, we look at the Kisei Kavod, which is the way Hashem manifests in the world. That's what it reminds us. So the Tchelet, Ramir says, reminds us of three things. Yam, the seas, Rakia, the sky, and the Kisei Kavod. The Pesukim only mention Rakia and Kisei Kavod. Where does Yam come from? Why do I say it's blue? Reminds us of the sky, which lets us think about the divine throne, Kisei Kavod, everything that means. The Kli Yakar on this specifically says that Yam and Rakia, as servants of Hashem, Hashem created them, Hashem controls them, they symbolize two different ways of serving. And we need to be reminded of both of those. And he starts by quoting Yaakov Shimoni. Hashem, Moshe says, Hazina Shamayim Deberet, Tishma Aretz. Amar Kosh Baruch Hu Moshe. Hashem told Moshe, Emor Lahem Yisrael, Istaklu B'Shamayim Shebarati, go look at the sky. Tell Bnei Israel, they need to look at the sky. Why? Shesamach L'asot Resani, because the sky is overjoyed to do my will. Tilem Kuf Yotet, Hu Kachatan, Yaseh Mechubato, Yasiski Borlo Choach. The sun is like a groom coming out of the bridal chamber, and is it joyous as an athlete running a race. Sky represents being happy with serving Hashem. V'chein inya hayam, and the sea there, about the sea it says, Oti lo tiro'u nu Hashem, Yirmiyahu tells Bnei Israel, you should fear me. In panay lo tachilo, you should tremble before me. Asher samti chol gul yayam, because I set the shore as a boundary for the sea. Shemishasha gazarti love. I made a gazera. I decreed that the sea, Shemishina imidato, the sea can't do anything and will not save. Amar alev asipat alam. I'm going to go drown the world again. Lo'ot elishmitztair. More than that, the sea is in pain. Then yachoma also, it can't do anything. As it says in that same pasuk, vayikashuv le'acholu, that the sea, the waves crash against the shore and they can't do anything. That's the sound of the sea, subject to God's rule. That's not yesi, that's not that joy. So that's what he says, the difference. The sky reminds us of the simcha avodah mi'ava, and the sea reminds us of avodah yira. We're limited, just like the shore limits. And that's the kliyakar. Sheminayam ein lumod kim lavod Hashem miyira. The sea starts, teaches us about serving Hashem from fear. Right? The sea would want to, but it can't. As we said, Otilo Tiro, that you should fear me like the sea fears me. Alken Amar V'yam Domel Rakia, and then he's saying about the Techelet, that okay, so this, the sea reminds us of Minat Adin, serving Hashem from Yira, and this, and then we go on to the sky, which reminds us about the Yaskiski Yibor, the joy we have, Yisko Tamid. Once you think about the sea, it's like you're thinking about that. It's image of the sea as well, that it has limits, it's got to stay in its place. Then it's like you're looking at the sky as well, and the idea of steering from Abba. The heavens rejoice in serving God. That's the two sides of the symbolism. We look at the Yam and we appreciate Midat Hadin, imposing structure order on the universe. And just looking at this and thinking about it, so Hashem puts the sea in its place, as it were. Second day of creation, separates land and sea. No, third day of creation. Second day of creation creates the sky. Third day separates land and sea, says this is as far as you're going to go. And there was a German Lutheran theologian who says, you know, you look at all these different cultures and they all have this common theme. Compares the Bible to Near Eastern religions, and they all these other religions have this creation myth that starts with a great battle between the sky god and the sea god. Usually it's a serpent or a dragon. And it ends with the defeat of the dragon and creation of the world. He calls that literally a chaos kampf, the battle of chaos. The sea represents chaos of the unformed world. It has to be subdued by the sky god. Okay, that's pagans. And that seems to be what, but if you look at Parsha Bereishit, that's this week's Parsha, it looks like it's describing the same sort of thing. Don't worry, I'm not going to say we're all pagans. Okay? But look where it starts. Bereishit bara Elokim v'Hashemayim v'Haaretz, God creates that worth. The world was in complete chaos. Choshek al panei tahom, and there was darkness over the deeps. Right, there's the water there. Rachokim rachepet al panei mayim. The spirit of God is hovering over the waters. So we have this idea that God looks at this water world, this chaotic water world, and has to subdue it to form creation. It doesn't mean the Torah is derived from paganism. I'd argue the opposite is true. That pagan mythology is a degenerate version of the truth that people once knew, and the Torah represents that truth. I think that's an interesting idea. And that's the way the Rambam puts it, famously talking about where does paganism come from? And this is the Rambam talking about Avodah Zarah. Bimei Enosh, Tov b'nei Adam tod gedola. Time of Enosh, third generation from Adam. People made a terrible mistake. The counsel of the wise, was destroyed. Enosh atzmo min atovim. Enosh was one of those who made this mistake. What was the mistake? Since God created all these stars, the Gilgalim Elu and the constellations and the spheres. To run the world, and place them up high, and clearly they're important. Clearly all these various forces in the universe serve God because God created them and they're all doing God's will. So we should start praising them. We're not going to worship, we're going to praise the force of the universe, gravity, strong nuclear force, all those things in the world. In other words, they start. Sort of knowing, seeing Hashem Malach, but then kind of losing it, diffusing that. So they went on this path, and they would make various images, symbols of this, note for She'arim, and on every tree and mountains, and they would bow to these various images. And in Rambam's model, it's as a way of serving Hashem. Like God's the ultimate truth, but he has all these intermediaries we should give them honor. But then they end up saying, well, this idol actually does good, does bad. We love Avdol, Yerabi Menor, then you should fear it. And as time went by, and everyone, after time went by, everyone forgot God. They lost the monotheism. They didn't recognize it. And all the ignorant people, and then the women and children. Because Rambam feels that women and children are a subcategory of ignorant people. Sorry about that. And then people would assume that, okay, these images here, even though they may not have been originally meant to be by themselves, they figure those are God, real gods. And they would teach their children, and that's what the children would learn, and they would be serving these gods. So starting out as a positive thing of saying, okay, these are the servants, and the way Steinsaltz puts it, is that monotheism is not a higher stage of some process of growth following on a lower stage of polytheism, that monotheism is still primary and basic. It's been the dominant mode of worship from as far back as human memory goes. That's the way we read the Torah. Like, start out serving Hashem and lose that. All the modes of religious faith came after, not before. For this truth, the scriptural text itself, it does not say so in price of this fashion, is the chief evidence. Again, that's where the Rambam reads it. So I'm going to look at these kind of creation myths and say they're remembering something right here, the symbolism of God controlling the water. So creation, described in the Torah, was Bria Yesh Me'ayin, creating out of nothing. And the original creation was of just unformed matter. This is the way the Ramban looks at it, which he's going to call Chomer, matter. And then 6 days of kind of imposing order on that, giving it structure, saying this is now as part of it. This, you know, these are animals, these are stars and all that. And that's sure, that's form. And this is the Ramban, introduction to Bereshit. Vatashma perusha mikra al pshuto, nachanu baru. So now I'm going to explain to you how creation happens. Straight. Go ahead and create your own universe now. Parash baruch hu barak kol nivrim ma'afisa mukhlata. God created the universe out of absolute nothingness. In its lino b'lashon ha-kodesh, hotsa yesh mi'ayin el lashon bara. So this idea of creating something out of nothing is called bria, opposed to forming, which is yitzira. Then call it hana'aseh, and nothing that was made after, tachar shemesh, olam ma'ala, whether it's under the sun, you know, on earth or in space. Hava min ha'ayin hatchila rishana. Everything comes from that original nothing, but it didn't come with the first step. First, God creates the something, the unformed something, and then forms that. But God created from the absolute nothing a matter that was, because of dak, very fine. In Bamamasta, it had no mamashut there, no real. You couldn't. But it was just more pure potential. That could have form applied to it. Let's take Menakoach al-Poel to go out from potential to reality. This is primordial matter. And in Greek, this is called Huli. Now he's quoting Aristotle here. And to quote Wikipedia on that hylomorphism from hylo, this Huli. Morphism means form. It's a philosophical doctrine developed by Aristotle, who conceives every physical entity as a compound of matter and immaterial form. It comes from this, Huli, which literally meant wood. So Aristotle's got to come up with some name. They didn't have a name for just pure matter. So he picked the word wood in Greek. Then morphos means form. So Rambam is quoting that directly. Aristotle calls this Huli, this just pure, unformed matter. And after that, there was no new creation. No yesh me'ayin, but yet sarva asai. Formed it, made it happen. And that applied form to all those things. And this unformed matter, this absolute chaos, this Yuli that Aristotle talks about, Nikra B'Lashon HaKodesh Tohu. That's what it means, the world was Tohu, Bavo. Tohu means something that were to me that's not understandable. Milag Nikzorah Mishonam, Me Tohel Rishonot, when you're kind of wondering about something. Nishi Im Ba'adam Nikzorah B'Hashem, because if you wanted to give it some kind of name, Tohu B'Nimlach L'Kroh B'Hashem Achia, you couldn't give it a name, you can't describe it anyway. Yola Vashtura, she Pespo Hashem Club. This doesn't have any form there. Just pure, undifferentiated matter. Vashtura Nilbeshet Lachomer Azenikra B'Lashon HaKosh Bohu. And then applying some kind of structure to that, giving it form, is called Bohu. So that's Haratza Da Tohu Bohu. Milam Rebecha Kolomol Omar Bohu. It comes from a compound word of Bohu, means that's where things are. So morale on this says, you know what water is in the sense of the oceans and the seas going back and forth? It's the symbol of this tohu, of chaos, of unformed matter. Lots of places. Maral kind of goes back to the symbolism over and over again. This is Baruch Hashem. Hamayim ein lahem tzura gemura. Water has no fixed form. Again, everything's made out of chomer and tzura, matter and form. Yuli and Morphos in Greek, water is purely unformed. At least symbolizes that. L'chach ne'grim tamid b'lashon rabim, that's why it's called, it's mayim is plural. L'nimtza l'shon yachid b'mayim, you know, there's no sense of being one, which we said that was what gives it structure. L'fi kol achdut mikoch atzura ha'machet davar. It's tzura, it's the form that gives it unity. You see, we're getting back to this king idea here. War doesn't have any form. And similarly, saying that that rivers, Neharot, as in our Perek, is called Kikoach HaChamriya TV, who Nagebi Midut, because this idea of Homer, which I'm going to kind of not so much matter, but unformed matter, which is the chaos, is always, you can't pin it down. It's always moving, like a river is never moving. Never rests. Keeps moving. So when in our parak it says, Miklot Mayim Rabim, it's the sound of the waters that declare God's greatness. It's the fact that Hashem has imposed order on the world. Hashem creates the world, Yesh Me'ayim, imposes order on the chaos. That ends up in all these Babylonian myths as being the sun, the sky god, conquers the sea serpent and then creates the world here. But it's not a war. It's that Hashem creates chaos and imposes order. And then culminates in the human being. And our job in that is to create a space for Hashem to exist in that created world. So we end with that idea of Beit Chana V'Kodesh. So God is Hashem Malach, imposes order on the world, Mikolot Mayim Rabim. That's what the sound of the seas being limited in their place. That's Hashem posing on the world. And then we go and bring Hashem into the world with the Beit Chana V'Kodesh, as we are the culmination of that creation. And that's why this parak is the Shir Shayom for Friday, when the human beings were created. And that's Gemara Rosh Hashanah. V'Shishir Yom Rim, Hashem Malachi Ed Lavish, our parak, Al Shem Shegamar Malachto. That's when Hashem finished the work of creation. Malach Hashem became this Melech. Not in a sense of obedience, but in a sense of imposing structure on the world. Well, that wasn't too philosophical. What was interesting?
Yeah, this is so interesting because I read a book about the fact that civilization is basically based on trying to control water.
Interesting.
About, you know, the fact that you had the floods or you had drought, you either needed water or you had too much water, and what would happen when you couldn't control water. And so it's just, it wasn't that long ago that I read about it. I thought it was so interesting.
I mean, that's true. It's one of those things. Yeah. So that's talking about literal water, not as a symbol of chaos, but of the literal water there. But the reason why it works as a symbol, because that's very true of water itself.
Yeah.
Out of control, everything is destroyed.
Right, but also they talked about this idea that mythology about water is like universal in all the different cultures.
So if you read about the Maharal, that's because it comes from this idea of Ruach Hashem Rachefet al Pnei HaMayim. And it's kind of degenerated into pagan images.
Yeah.
The next one, Perek, Tilim Tzadi Zion, we read a bit, we read it in Kabbalah Shabbat. It's another Hashem Malach. It's about how God is was king from creation, again, imposed his order on creation, and therefore we should be overjoyed. We should celebrate. Shem Malach Tagela Aretz. God reigned. The earth is happy. Yismachu Yimirabim. The far islands are happy. And then it goes into Anan Ve'arafel Svivav. He is surrounded by clouds and darkness. Tzedek Mishpat Machon Kiso. Justice and, I'm going to translate that, Mishpat, rules set his throne. And so Anan and Rafael doesn't sound very happy or Tagel Ha'aretz kind of image there. And then the justice is more the Midat Adin and this, as opposed to this Midat Ha'ava, Midat Rachamim. So the Malbim says, Hashem Malach, and it's through Hashem's Malchut, and it's going to be talking about how God rules through, exists through, manifests through nature. And that's why the world will rejoice that the Kisei HaKavod, that this Machon Kisacha, is the symbolism of Hashem's manifestation in the world. But it's not immediately visible. Okay, we see God acting through nature. And that's the Anan Ve'arafel. It's in darkness. Again, the Malbim. It's a Yer B'tzarazeh. And the image here of the guys in the darkness, Shashkacha Nisteret, that God's providence is hidden. Ve'eno Nikeret Lakol. And people can't read or recognize it. Rabim Yidmu, Shalom Nohega Min HaGativi. Because people are going to think, well, the God, world just works according to natural law. And that is inevitable, it is predetermined. And it's as though Hashem is surrounded by the darkness, the clouds and dark, and no one can see, no one can appreciate Hashem's because Hashem's providence is there. So still, where the real manifestation is Hashem's justice. The way Hashem acts is called this Kiz Hashem, throne of God. But the Tzedek Mishpat is there if we can see it, if we try to look. And so the parak continues, Eish lefanav telech, the fire goes before him, till Tolahet tzaviv tzarav, lights up his surroundings, Hariru barak tevel, brakav tevel, the lightning bolts give light to the world, Ratav etech la'aretz, and they're seen. And the world trembles. And the Hirsch says that's the image that it's dark, and then you have these little bursts of lightning. But even while this dark era bursts like a ruinous thunderstorm, its flash of lightning serves to enlighten those still capable of acquiring better knowledge and understanding. You can't see Hashem's hand, little flashes every once in a while. Then it continues about this way Hashem manifests in nature. Hashem can harim kadonag namaslof me Hashem, the mountains melt like wax before God, before the world. The heavens themselves declare his justice. And the nations will see his glory. And those who still worship idols, who don't see Hashem's hand, they will be embarrassed. They'll realize they were wrong once they realize that Hashem is running the world. Yishtachavu lo kolohim, and all of the Elohim bow down to him. What are Elohim?
Forces.
That's why I would translate for powers, forces, right? Force of nature. So if we look carefully, we can see that. We know we say until Yutet, Hashemayim misaprim kvod kel, masei dav mayir girakia. The nature declares the glory of God. So that's what here we have said, Higidu Hashemayim Tzidko, the heavens declare his justice. So don't be fooled by the apparent existence of these other Elohim, as Rambam said. They all are Hishtachavullah. They all bow down to Hashem. Hashem is the Melech of all of that. Right? Hashem is what pulls everything together. Everything is really one. There aren't these separate forces in the universe. Don't be a pagan. So then the Perek changes. The Volt does. We've used that term before. He's the turn. A poem that has a theme and then kind of turns in a different direction. And starts talking about Zion. Shema v'tismach Zion. And I haven't found any commentators who are bothered by this. Because if we parrot, we say this was written by Moshe Rabbeinu as part of the original Mishkan. What's he talking about Zion? Zion doesn't exist for another 400 years. So I don't have an answer. I assume that the second paragraph was actually written later. I'm not saying that, right? David is editing this is the original Sefer Tehillim. He's adding, okay, so now we've talked about the world rejoicing in Hashem, realizing that Hashem runs the world. I'm going to add a part that talks about Zion, about the Jewish people, specifically about Yerushalayim. So he's going to say, this is how we should react. Shema v'tismach Zion. So we see the whole world is now Samach with Hashem, Yisimchuyim, Yerabim. Now, Zion needs to hear and rejoice as well. Tila Gelna Benot Yehuda. The daughters of Judah should rejoice. L'mamish b'shatech Hashem, because of your judgment that we've seen in the world. Ki ata Hashem elyon kol aretz, because you rule over the whole world. Mod na'leit kol Elohim, and we recognize that as well. The world recognizes it, we recognize as well that God is in charge. Same simcha, same gila that we said in the first half. The difference in terms of what Zion is supposed to do with that is we're supposed to do something, that joy. And that's where he continues. Hashem sinura. You see, God's justice, we need to be the same way. We love God, we have the simcha, serving Hashem me'ava. We need to hate evil. Shomer nafshol chasidav, God will guard. Those who are his righteous ones, mi'ad yoshem yaslem, will protect them from evil. Arzarul HaTzadik, this light, like we started out with Hashem in darkness, now the light shines for the righteous ones. Yisraelev Simcha, and we have the joy. Simchut Tzadikim B'Shem. Simchut Tzadikim B'Shem, the righteous will rejoice in Hashem, v'hodul zecher etcho, and they'll praise his name, bring him back into the Beit HaMikdash. So that's what the Rambam says, is that accepting Hashem as Melech, seeing Hashem's hand in nature, should lead us to be over Hashem. Very good. Lucky, what are you barking at? Can you hear the dog barking?
No.
Oh, okay. It's a good microphone. Directional mic. He's just screaming there. Okay, so this is the Rambam to finish this up. How do we get to the point of loving Hashem? And then he says, when you look at God's works, whereof and all of creation, this wondrous creation, we'll see God's infinite wisdom. That's what it means to love God, and praise God. You have this incredible desire to understand Hashem, to get closer. But David says, "Saman nafshi lokim kelchai, my soul thirsts for God." And that brings us then to being sonei ra, and usually being righteous and hating evil, because that's what we're supposed to do with that feeling of avat Hashem. And so the parak ends with the simchut tzadikim b'Hashem, not just the iyim, the various nations, the world will enjoy, but just have the feeling we should actually do something.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
This is all part of our whole thing with Sefer Shmuel and David's story.
Right.
Well, like, how is this connected with that whole thing?
So listen, I'm trying to do all of Sefer Tehillim. But I have these various prakim here that are not attributed to David.
These are like Moshe, right?
These are attributed to Moshe. But I said, this obviously has something here that David's adding.
Ah.
It's talking about Sia. You know, the next the last one, the Hashem Melech, is all about Sion. I say you can't say talk about Sion and B'nai Yehuda. That can't be Moshe's words. So clearly, I mean, David basically is writing Sefer Tehillim as this kind of sitter for the Beit Hamikdash.
It comes much later than Moshe.
So I argue that there was a sitter of sorts. They had Tehillim that were said in the Mishkan. Right, Levim sang something. They had a much smaller group. They had these, 11 Tehillim. That was one who turns that to 150. He's using this. He's starting from this source here that we're attributing to Moshe.
Okay.
Last one is Tzadik Tet 99, which also starts with Hashem Malach, God has reigned, Yugazu Amim. It's a little bit different because here it's not their joy, not their have joy at their Yismachu Amim, but it's Yugazu Amim, they tremble. Yashav Kruvim Tinat Aretz, that the one who dwells on the Kruvim will carry the throne, that again, Kruvim are the manifestation of God in the world. Makes the earth slip, move. God controls everything. Hashem b'tzion gadol. Again, we're going straight into the tzion. How do we attract that? Attribute to Moshe, God is great at tzion. Ram hu al ko amim and rules over all the nations. And more than that, he mentions Shmuel. Right? How can Moshe write mentioning Shmuel? We have this pasuk as Moshe b'arum b'kohanav. Shmuel b'kreiv Shmo. Moshe, Aaron, where Kohanim served Hashem, Shmuel called his name. Karimel Hashem, Huyan name. They called out to God and he answered them. So I assume again that this
is part of our tefillah.
Yes, so this is part of, this is the parak that's right before the Mizmor LaDavid in Kabbalat Shabbat, when we stand up.
Uh-huh.
And this gets to this kind of the slow, dramatic Karl Bach tune, which I'm not going to sing because I can't sing until we get to the the bouncy Mizmor LaDavid one.
Yeah.
We quote this. So you know these words. You've heard this over and over again.
Yeah.
I'm pointing out that, so we have to, I would say that there's this kind of skeleton of it that was the original Moshe version. And then David adds the Tzion parts, the modern updated parts. So we're, so the skeleton is Hashem Malach Yuzra Mim, Yoshev Kruvim Tinat Aretz. God has reigned. God is the structure of the universe. The people should tremble. God dwells in the among the Kruvim, made the world, earth move. Yadu Shemecha Gadol V'Nara, that they should all, the nation should know your awesome, great name, Kadoshu, and it's holy. Your great, awesome, and holy name. Ramu Hashem Elokeinu V'Shtachu Adam Raklav. They should glorify God and bow down at his footstool, which is the Mishkan Mikdash, the Shu. It is holy. God will be glorified, and they, the all again, it's talking to the Amin, all the nations will bow to his at his mountain. I said before, that Moshe's vision as they left Eretz Yisrael was not to spend time in the wilderness and not as they left Mitzrayim. Was not to spend time in the wilderness and spend another 400 years falling apart in civil wars before they finally built the Mikdash. They're supposed to go straight there, build the Mikdash, and the whole world would acknowledge Hashem.
So that was always the plan. It would be a universal temple.
Absolutely. And so, but this one starts, that's the image there. We started, the previous one was all about Avat Hashem. This now is all the nations should be Yirguzu, they should fear God. Because loving Hashem means yearning to be close to him, but that's impossible. So the Rambam says that loving Hashem inexorably leads to awe and that feeling of distance. They got to always go together. This is the Mishnah Torah, continuing that what we quoted before. When you think about these things, how much you want to be close to Hashem, how wonderful it is, miyadu nitra ela harav. You're immediately thrown backwards. Yira v'yifachad, you'll be fear, in awe. V'yedashu b'riya k'tanash v'levech. And you realize that you're a tiny little creation. Omed v'dat kala mu'tal l'fnei tamim de'ot. In your little brain trying to understand the infinite wisdom of God, said David says, ki era shemecha, when I see your skies, I say, ma'anosh ki tzitzkana. What is man that you recognize it? We go from Abba to Europe. And that's connection to this the Mishkan or the Mikdash, the Kruvim, which is the way that to a way that Kiseh Kavod is brought into the world through the Mikdash. We pointed out the symbolism of God sitting on the throne is Hashem's action in the world. That's the Kiseh. The footstool, the Hadam Raglav, is the actions of human beings. We are the Kruvim that carry God Kavod Hashem in the world. God manifests God in the world. That's our behavior that is the Kiddush Hashem. And again, we said before, saying Hashem Malach, Hashem rules of the world, gives us responsibility to be his emissaries. And so that when David is kind of expanding this, he says that's mission, you know, Moshe is looking at this universal. It's not just about the Jews. The goal is the Jews are going to spread this to the world. That doesn't happen. David is looking at just a more local Beit HaMikdash that hopefully will expand. But he has the Hashem B'Tzion Gadol, God is great, yeah, and Tzion specifically, Ramhuel Kol Amim, exalted in all the nations, says, V'az Melech Mishpat Ahev, and God's strength, God's justice, Atak Nunta Misharim, you set up those who are righteous, you gave them the strength to stand firm, Mishpat Zakah, Yaakov, Atay Sitah, you've given it to Yaakov. We need to keep the Mishpat Zakah. That's our job. And he gives three examples. Three examples of exactly what that mission was when he says, Moshe ba'aron b'chanav, u'shmuel b'kare shemo. Ko'im l'Hashem v'yanem, they would call to God and he would answer them. Ba'muda nanya devar elayhem, he would speak to them from the pillar of the cloud, that'd be Moshe and Aaron. Shemur etav v'chok natan l'mo, they kept his testimony and he gave them the law. Again, Moshe and Aaron giving the law. Hashem Elokeinu Atani Tam, God, you answered them, and Kel Nosi Hayita Lahem, and you carried them. Elokeinu Alotam, and you avenged their actions. In other words, you held them accountable if they sinned as well. They were still human beings. And this example of Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel all go together. Yirmiyahu has the same image, where Hashem is telling him, okay, I'm telling Yirmiyahu, I'm giving up on this Mikdash. I gave them a Moshe Aaron and Shmuel. They didn't take the lesson. I'm destroying it. And Hashem tells Yom Hashem Eli, and Hashem tells Yirmiyahu, Miyamod Moshe and Shmuel Fanai, even if Moshe and Shmuel were standing before me, I will not have anything to do with these people. Shlach me al Panai b'yitzeu, send them away from me and let them go. That's at the end of the Beit Midash.
You mean the first temple?
First temple, that's correct. That's Yirmiyahu. So we're starting it looking at Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel as being the symbol of what it means to be listening to Hashem's name. And the end, Yirmiyahu is saying that at this point, it's too late. If you can bring back Moshe and Aaron, Moshe and Shmuel, it's not going to help. As the Malbim says, Beit Nimsu Moshe Aaron Ben Kohanav, at the time when Moshe and Aaron were among Hashem, the Kohanim, like Aaron was a Kohen, Moshe also served as a Kohen when the Mishkan was being built. Shmuel Nimsa ben Korei Shemo, and Shmuel would call his name. He was the ultimate Navi. Shalomar Be'etchi Yisrael him Madrega Kazot. When Bnei Yisrael are on that kind of level, Shiyusha Shechinato Alehem, God dwells among them, Derech Pla'i, and does miracles. Yimse'uim Kohanav, Kemoshe Yimse'im Moshe Aaron. And all the Kohanim are going to be like Moshe Aaron. Shimu Kohanav, Kemoshe Aaron, B'dibu Galka Imam. There, that spirit of God among them. Israel couldn't reach that level. Korei Shemo Yidmu Kishmuel. Those who pray Hashem will be like Shmuel. Barish Moshe Ana Shmuel Ba'et Karei Lav. And so that just like he answered Shmuel when Hashem called the Anusus Nesli Nosis, and God made all sorts of miracles for Shmuel. Then Az Domei Hashem K'shochei Beinahem, that God dwells among them. Kilu Dira To Bahar Kodesh Lamata. That's when Hashem Dira is in the Beit HaMikdash, among them. They could get that. They have that potential. That's what David's saying over here. Once they get to this Yugzuamim, this universal service Hashem, then the Bnei Yisrael will be like Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel. And then it ends with this universal plea. Ramu Hashem Lokeinu V'shtachu Al Har Kodesho, all you nations should need to come and serve Hashem on this holy mountain. Ki Kadosh Hashem Lokeinu, because God is holy. As we always say, right? That's what you just pointed out, that the Beit HaMikdash is supposed to be a universal place to serve Hashem. You know, Tema Har Kodshi. This is my Tema B'Tvilti, that we're bringing them to my Har Kodesh, same metaphor, and they will be joyous in my house of prayer. And I will find favor with their sacrifices. So my house will be a house of prayer for all the nations.
We compare that also in our tefillah.
Yes, that came up a lot. We quoted saying that a lot in Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
That becomes the same
thing. Can we sing it during Sukkot?
Is it quoted in the tefillah for Sukkot? I don't remember it.
At some place in Sukkot.
Never mind. It could be. I don't remember everything memorized. But that becomes death. So that we end with this idea that Hashem Malach creates the universe. Hashem Malach is acknowledged as king by Bnei Israel. Hashem Yimloch Noved, the whole world was acknowledged Hashem's sovereignty. At least the point of not trying to wipe everybody each other out. So we should look forward to, as everyone says, but sort of a good news to hear.
Amen, amen.
Keep davening.
Thank you, Danny.